Welcome to the 4th of July on WCRI, featuring the chorus of Westerly, Summer Pops. We invite you to revel in the sounds of summer as we celebrate a slice of Americana right here in our own backyard. You will hear special interviews from this year's Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops concert at Wilcox Park with musicians, singers, and other key people that help make the Summer Pops possible. Among the interviews, you will enjoy music performed at the George Kent Performance Hall as the chorus prepared for this great event. The 4th of July weekend programming on WCRI featuring the Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops is brought to you by All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control, South County Health, Westerly Urgent Walk-In Care, A&B Family Appliance, Van Loo Trust Company, Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery, Block Island Ferry, Courtyard Gallery Mystic, Roberts Musical Instruments, and The Book That Gets Better With Age, written by Tim Love, available on Amazon. And now, here is your host, Jamie Jones.
Happy 4th of July weekend. I'm here to bring you our second annual 4th of July on WCRI featuring the Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops. This year we were able to sit down and talk to more of the chorus members and find out a little bit about them and some of their favorite experiences with the chorus. Last year, as many of you know, the weather did not work out in our favor or the Chorus of Westerly's favor, but this year was beautiful. You will also hear my conversation with Executive Director Ryan Saunders and Music Director Andrew Howell as they discuss this year's Summer Pops, as well as activities and events coming up in the future for the Chorus of Westerly. Now, without further delay, here is Music Director Andrew Howell introducing the first piece.
We're now going to hear our national anthem.
The first person I had a chance to sit down and talk to was Deb Dunham, current board member, singer, and former past president.
I grew up singing in the chorus. Both my parents sing, both of my children sang, and I was the very proud leader of the search committees for both Andrew Howell and Ryan Saunders.
That is a big search, because
yeah.
I know those guys.
They're pretty great.
They are, they're very good, and we appreciate them. How many years total have you been with the chorus?
41.
41,
yeah.
Wow. And as you can hear...
I joined when I was 7.
And
I know.
As you can hear behind us, the orchestra is warming up, which is great. We love to hear that. And today is a beautiful day.
Thank God.
Compared to last year, we were here.
Yes.
And everybody was hunkered under our tent because
yes.
it was so bad. But it's a beautiful day today. And what do you look forward to most about these Pops concerts?
Oh my gosh, seeing the people out in the audience and seeing their faces and just the pure joy.
Yes.
It's one of the most spectacular events I've ever had the privilege to be part of.
As many of you know, the orchestra plays many popular songs during the Summer Pops, some with the chorus and some on their own. Here is the piece that they started off the evening with. It's the Olympic Fanfare and Theme by John Williams.
Thank you.
I took a moment and talked to Emily Spano, who is a parent and former chorus member, about what it's like having children in the chorus.
I have 3 daughters, 17, 15, and 12 on stage.
Now, is this their first year with a chorus?
No, they've all been in since they were 8 years old. Their dad and I met in the choir and got married.
That happens a lot.
Went to camp together when we were 8 years old, and we got married at camp.
Give me one of your favorite moments.
Probably we toured Europe. We went to Prague, Vienna, Budapest, and to see my kids on stage.
What an
they
experience.
Sang, and their dad and I were camp followers and got to watch them sing in all these places. And
how cool.
I had toured in England, so to see them do the same thing, it was pretty amazing.
Nice.
And we're going to go to Germany next year.
Enjoy the concert. Enjoy your kids singing in the concert. Thank you.
This is an arrangement of Eternal Father Strong to Save, arranged by Dan Forrest.
Thank you.
While the chorus was waiting to go on stage to rehearse, I sat down with a few of the members, Mike Grillo, James Fagan, Mike Friedis, and Calvin Utter, and I asked them what was their favorite thing about the Summer Pops.
I'd have to say that singing Dvorak's Requiem really had a lot of feeling for me. It was not unlike any other concert. It just, for whatever reason, just that moment, really, it sounded perfect. Maybe it was a night, I don't know, but it was really a great opportunity to hear that and then to be involved with it and then hear it again while you're singing it. It just really stuck right with me.
The 1812 Overture is pretty incomparable.
It's amazing. Yeah. It is amazing.
And it was the very, very first year I did it. They did, I'm a big Star Wars fan, and the orchestra did a medley of some Star Wars tunes. So that was a really nice kind of affirmation that I was in the right place.
I like the patriotic stuff. So I like the new version of the Navy hymn we're doing this year.
Oh, that's great.
It's beautiful, yeah.
There's really nothing like looking up during the 1812 Overture and seeing those fireworks exploding overhead. It's so immersive, and it was such a magical thing as a child, and associating with classical music and these fireworks and this gathering of people, it creates this kind of magic that, you know, I've never seen anything that even comes close to it.
Up next, I spoke with Caswell Cook, who used to sing with the chorus, and this year was his first experience as MC for the chorus of Westerly Summer Pops. So we asked him a little bit about his history with the chorus.
Well, I started singing in 1982 as a kid.
1982.
I know. Jeez. I was only 8, though, so you can do the math.
A lot of people started when they were 8. That seems like
That's the magic number, 8.
Magic
yeah.
number. Now, did you do the camps like a lot of people did?
Oh, love it, yeah. And now it's my kids' favorite thing is to go up there. And they're not even old enough to sing yet.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I don't sing with the chorus anymore, but I get to be the MC tonight, which
now,
is fun.
Now, that's right. Is this your first year being the MC?
It's my first year.
Now, give me a favorite moment out of all the time you've been with the chorus.
There's so many moments. I mean, you know, I'm doing a documentary on the chorus right now that should come out in the fall, and just we've been going over all the years, you know, just growing up with the chorus like a family, and George Kent was like, you know, another dad sort of thing to all of us, and so it's just, you know, just gave us maybe grounded us and gave us a good sense. It's a great place for, you know, if you have a kid that's 8, 9, 10, start them singing, because it's really just something that is life-changing.
Now you're an MC. What are you looking forward to the most tonight?
When I make my last announcement, I can sit down with my kids and watch. It's nice to be able to watch.
Right.
You know, for so many years I sang, and it's cool to look out at the audience, but now it's kind of cool to, like, be in the audience and see this group,
right,
you know, and
awesome.
It's just great to see Andrew doing. I mean, he was just a little kid. You know, he's a little younger than
he's
me.
He's fantastic.
And, yeah, he's great, and he was, you know, brought up in the chorus, and so it's kind of a homegrown thing.
Thank you very much for being here with us, and have a good night. Good
you
luck
too.
With that.
This is H. Balfour Gardner's Evening Hymn.
As she was running around here and there for the summer pops, I briefly got to speak with Ashley Shea, the new patron services manager for the chorus.
What is the patron service manager?
I manage the box office for the Chorus of Westerly, and I am sort of the member and patron czar.
Did you ever sing with the chorus?
I have never sung with the chorus, but I am a professional singer, which and drew me to the position.
Where did you get your singing background?
So I got my bachelor's in vocal performance from Illinois Wesleyan University.
How did you get over to here, to Westerly?
My husband's work kind of brought us to this area. My family and I just moved here last July.
So this is your first
It's my
pops.
First summer pops ever.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So I'm super excited.
Good luck. Have fun.
Thank you. I'm having a great time. Thanks so much.
I also spoke with chorus members Laura McLaughlin, Kristen Johnson, Meg Selico, Angela Tafone, and Calvin Utter about their favorite moments outside of the summer pops and how they got involved with the chorus to begin with.
When I was a kid, I loved going to our summer camp in New Hampshire. I loved doing camp stuff. I loved learning the new music. I just loved it. It was my favorite thing, and I looked forward to it every year. And now I'm an adult staff member, and I still look forward to it every year.
When I was growing up as a high schooler in Westerly, I did their production of Twelfth Night, which they used to do every winter. So I was introduced through that.
One of my favorite moments in being in the chorus is probably that first year at camp, actually. I met my best friend, and we were both 10 at the time. We're 17 now, just graduated high school, and it's like, this is my family now because of how close we've all become.
When the chorus went on tour a couple of summers ago to Prague, Vienna, and Budapest,
that's right.
That was quite the experience, very special.
The chorus has been so omnipresent in my life consistently. I was a baby in arms when I was under 1 year old, maybe even almost 6 months, in a production of the Chorus of Westerly's 12th Night. My family was there at the founding of the chorus. I'm a third generation chorus member, and my grandmother, Anna Utter, wrote and was one of the founders and wrote the performances for the 12th Night for 30 years. So it's very much in my blood.
We're now going to hear the George M. Cohan Salute, arranged by Ralph Herman.
Thank you.
A few days after the Chorus of Westerly Summer Pops, I stopped in at the Chorus of Westerly offices to talk to Executive Director Ryan Saunders and Music Director Andrew Howell about many things, including this year's Pops concert, donations, auditioning, and what's ahead for the Chorus of Westerly.
Talk about the preparation for this year's Pops.
Well, in the musical side of things, we had probably about 4 weeks after having just done the Verdi Requiem to put together this giant performance in the park. Some of the music we had actually used last year, but not actually performed last year because of the unfortunate weather. So it was nice to finally get to do Oliver and our Eternal Father Strong to Save, which was a lovely one. But other than that, it was a typical Pops year. Thank God we had some beautiful weather to actually make it go off. Besides the actual musical side of things, we had a lot of other logistical things that were different this year, which I will let Ryan talk about.
One of the things I was going to mention, Ryan, we were talked about the fireworks were in the park this year.
They were.
Instead of outside of the park. Now, usually they're shot off near the train station, right?
They were shot off over by on the New York side of the Westerly train station, so the southbound side, which is actually on the north side of the station. But Grucci, the fireworks company that has been providing fireworks for Pop since 1983, since the third one, has been launching from that site since the early 90s, where originally the show was in the back of the park, but when the Westerly Library expanded and fire and pyrotechnic laws got actually real,
right.
It had to be moved to a different spot. So it was over there for more than 20 years, and they are building a brand new CCRI building on the exact site of where we used to launch the fireworks for. So we had to scramble a little bit and find some sort of alternate location, and working really closely with Grucci and the fire and police, the only alternate we found was bringing them back to the park. So we did, and they were shot off from the pond area of the park, which is on the north side of it.
It's always safer near water.
Well, I guess so. You know, worst comes to worst. And in fact, they set up this display right on the edge of the water. So yes, in the event of emergency, that could have been I don't know who would want to kick it, but it could have gone right into the water. But it required Pops is, you know, we start working on a given summer Pops the minute the last one ends.
Right.
But we really get high intense into it starting in January before it happens. And there's probably 1,000 little pieces, maybe 10,000 little pieces. And we've got it down pretty well. But the fireworks coming into the park was new for us because we had to have a secure zone and we had something crazy like 2,000 linear feet of fencing around it.
And now that was expensive. That's an extra added cost to the chorus. So donations.
You got it.
And that's another thing you get to add into this year's cost.
Yeah, fencing alone was just under $3,500 just for the fencing. And then the insurance went up because of the fireworks in the park, probably by about another $1,000. And then we had to hire more security. So all total, it probably cost us about $5,000 and $6,000 more just to move the fireworks into the park to secure it and keep it safe and keep everyone safe. Now, it went off fine. And it's all, if you went over there now, you would never even know that there was a fireworks show or even summer Pops took place other than some indentations in the ground where the stage was. The Grucci's did a wonderful job, and we're very grateful to the Westerly Library and Wilcox Park for taking that little leap of faith with us. And hopefully everyone's happy in town and we can find a way to swing this financially. We got a lot of fundraising to do between now and next June 24th.
Right, fundraising. But talking about that, how do people donate to the Chorus of Westerly? They just go to your website? Do they send in donations?
They can do it in all of those ways, yes. You can go to the Chorus's website is chorusofwesterly.org. And there's also westerlypops.org, which is really the chorus website. You just jump over.
Right.
You can donate online with a credit card. You can do that throughout the year.
They can do ongoing.
Yep, you can pledge it. You can do it once a week, once a month, once a quarter. But you can also mail checks into the chorus. So we're at 119 High Street, Westerly, Rhode Island. Or even drop it off if you're ever here. In a season, we have to raise for all of the chorus projects combined. This past season, we've had to raise $560,000.
Wow.
And we have a full-time staff of 3 administrators and 1 music director. So it's a lot. And Pops itself our goal this year was to get to, well, we had to get to $94,000. And we're not quite there yet, but there are still some funds coming in for the concert. So we're pretty gosh darn close.
So if you're out there listening, donations, even though Pops is done and everything, they still need the donations.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're always working ahead towards the next one. And I mean that sincerely, is that, you know, our fiscal year wraps up at the end of June, but you know, it doesn't mean the bills stop at the end of June. We shift right into gear for that next season. And next year's Pops will take place on Saturday, June 24th, 2017. And then 10 days later, the chorus is getting on airplanes and heading to Germany. So
I actually want to ask Andrew about that. Prepping to go to Germany. I know Ryan deals with the one side of it, but musically, how do you deal with that audience over there compared to an American audience or the type of music music and getting the performers ready, things like that?
Sure. There's a tremendous amount, actually, that goes into that. We've been planning this tour already for, I think, a year now.
Now, your last one was Prague, right?
We went to Vienna, Prague, and Budapest in 2014.
In 2014, yep. Okay.
So now we're looking at Germany, and I mean, we're well into preparations. We've got the tour company that we're working with, ACFEA, are doing all of the groundwork for us. We've already got the venues picked, so we know where we're going to sing. It's then mostly their job to get us an audience in there, and we bring the music. We're going to be doing Bach's Mass in B minor. Nice. So we'll be performing it in Westerly in May 2017. Yeah. So we get to do it here. We will perform it for our own people in Westerly. And then from the full chorus, we will bring however many people are signed up for the tour, which right now is around 100 of our singers will come over to Germany. So, I mean, we're hoping to bring around 180 people total over to Germany. When we went last time, we brought 227. Large people moving ventures. So we'll bring them over there, and we'll perform three times the full Bach Mass in B minor with two different orchestras while we're there. So that's another thing that we've got to work with. We've got to prep it with those orchestras each place we go.
After you land, how long do you have? A couple days before you perform your first performance?
This time we have one day before we do the first performance.
Oh, wow.
And then the next morning, in fact, we get to sing at Bach's own church, the Thomaskirche in Leipzig, for the Sunday morning 10 a.m. service, which is really thrilling for us.
Oh, wow.
I mean, in terms of everything we get to do over there, we get to actually sing Bach's Mass in B minor in Bach's church at the Sunday morning service for the people of Leipzig. It doesn't get much better than that.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's thrilling, although it's going to be exhausting because we will have gotten off the plane, just barely adjusted, do the entire performance with an orchestra rehearsal before that, then get up early the next morning, go over to the church and sing again there. I don't think people will get to really adjust until after that Sunday morning. Then we actually have a couple of days where we get to do a little bit of sightseeing and traveling and all of that. So it'll just be intense, you know, right into all of that Bach-ness over there, and then finally get a chance to breathe after that.
Now, how do you choose the music that you're going to do over there?
Part of the genesis of this trip was that it is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation in Germany. And so when our tour company talked to us about this and they said there's going to be a lot of festivals and things going on over there, it would be great if you wanted to try and be a part of some of that.
Right.
And so we thought, what a great idea. Why not? We just brought Dvorak to Prague, so brought him home. Why not bring Bach to Germany and do it big? So that was part of what kicked off and spurred this whole thing. That was one of the reasons to go. So doing Bach was the initial thought in the first place to go over there.
And now I want to tie that in to auditions for the chorus. How does somebody audition to be in the chorus of Westerly?
So we are still looking for people of all ages and all voice parts right now. Any child from age 8 and up can audition, and any adult soprano, alto, tenor, bass who have some previous choral experience. All they have to do is get in touch with me directly, andrew@chorusofwesterly.org. Or call the office 596-8663, or email Ryan or Ashley or anyone else, and the message will get to me, and I will hear anyone all summer long. Anyone who's interested in auditioning, I am more than happy anytime to meet with them.
So do you meet with them one-on-one?
Yes, I do.
Do you have special group auditions, or is it always...
No, it's one-on-one. For the kids, it's very simple. I just want to hear them sing a little bit, just hear their general vocal ability. I want to hear how well they're hearing things musically, and then talking to them about the commitment, talking to them and their parents about the season ahead and what's entailed in that. And then for the adults, it is more challenging. They have to do some sight reading. They have to prep in advance a couple pieces of music. So I'm a little harder on them. We have a couple of auditions that are set on the schedule, but I am open to people coming in anytime if they just get in touch with me. We still have some room to grow. So
I also wanted to talk about the upcoming season and planning out the season. How do you guys, and I don't know if Ryan can speak to this, how do you go about planning? Because when one season's going on, you've got to start planning.
Well,
it moves pretty fast.
We actually, I mean, the thing about when Pops is in motion, we are well underway with planning things happening, you know, more than a year out. Andrew's very good in the sense that he often can give me a sort of a sketch of about 3 or 4 years out of the major works he wants to perform and when. And we
have a lot of discussions of, you know, how does that fit? You know, the biggest thing actually for us is programming that is good for the singers in our audience, but also how are we going to pay for it? You know, it's hard to do a Verdi Requiem and a Dvorak Requiem that have huge orchestras, if you will, in the same year. So we try to kind of have a good counterbalance of the major works, maybe doing something in one in the fall or the spring that's classical or Baroque with a slightly smaller orchestra, and something maybe romantic or 20th century onward and on the opposite of that. One of the things we try to do is also look at the repertoire that we're putting out there and the educational aspect that it has for all of the singers and the kids. You know, we want them to be able to sing, you know, the big works and the important works. And over sort of a 5 to 10 year arc, we try to hit certain pieces of music. So every sort of generation of child that comes through the chorus has a chance to do that. And we've had some standards over the years. The Brahms Requiem is one of them. Messiah is one of them. We don't do Messiah every year, but we try to do it within every 8 or 10 years. If we're going to do a piece of music, we're going to do it right. So if the score calls for, you know, triple winds and a big string section and all this percussion, we're not going to cut back on that. We're going to do it the right way. And that's how we think about this. But yeah, we really do sketch out several years in advance. And then we augment it by looking about some guest groups that we can bring in throughout the year on our Kent Hall Master Series or our college series. That can be really, those concerts can serve as fundraisers for the other concerts. But right, we really do try to bring in one or two really strong other vocal or choral ensembles. This fall we have Cantus, the all-men's a cappella group from Minneapolis, coming in to sing with us in October. And we've had all ranges of that. We've had, you know, the King Singers, but we've also had rockapella. You know, we just try to bring in something that's fun and exciting for our audiences, and also so our singers can then go enjoy themselves. Chanticleer was here a couple of years ago. They've been here several times now, and they did a live sort of tour album. They caught a couple tracks out of our hall in the live concert. I mean, it's a good place to sing. And we're happy to try to bring in some of the finest choir. We had Stila Antico here, which is a fabulous early music English ensemble, back in January. And, you know, this room plays very well right for them.
Now, upcoming performances for the rest of this year. What's coming up that people can look forward to attending for the course of Westerly?
So the next thing on our schedule in the hall, which is not us, as Ryan just mentioned, is Cantus, the Minneapolis-based men's vocal ensemble. And then we have our first gig here in November. We're doing Ray Vaughan Williams' Hodier, and then Christmas Pops in December, followed by the Bach B minor in May, Summer Pops in June, and then off to Germany. That is our season next year.
Here's another one of the pieces the orchestra played on the night of the Summer Pops. It's The March from Indiana Jones by John Williams.
We'll be right back.
This is Ride the Chariot, arranged by William Smith, featuring soloist Eden Castile.
Thank you for joining us for this 4th of July on WCRI featuring the chorus of Westerly's Summer Pops. We appreciate you tuning in and thank all of our listeners out there. As you know, we are a commercial station, so we cannot take donations. So we ask, please let the advertisers know that you heard them on this station and that you are patronizing them because they advertise on Classical 95.9. This is the only way that we will keep classical music and local arts programming alive on the radio in this area. I want to say a special thank you to Andrew Howell and Ryan Saunders for once again inviting us into their home to be part of this special evening here in Rhode Island. We look forward to many years to come. And to our audience, have a safe and happy 4th of July weekend, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to WCRI's 4th of July weekend special featuring the chorus of Westerly Summer Pops. This exclusive program has been brought to you by All Outdoors Power Equipment and Narragansett Pest Control, South County Health, Westerly Urgent Walk-In Care, A&B Family Appliance, Van Loo Trust Company, Dove and Distaff Rug Gallery, Block Island Ferry, Courtyard Gallery Mystic, Roberts Musical Instruments, and The Book That Gets Better With Age, written by Tim Love, available on Amazon. From all of us here at the Classical Station, we wish you and your family a very happy 4th of July.